morning and welcome on this beautiful Christmas Eve day. We're going to begin this morning with announcements. Do we have any announcements from the congregation? I have one correction that I found in the bulletin. And it's right in one place, but not in the other, that the youth are leaving Wednesday, December 27th, for their mission trip. Wednesday, not Thursday. Wednesday at 8 a.m. Be here. Are there any others? Do we have any prayer requests? David Butts. Are there any others?
My name is Sarah Miller. She was a child from Carolina. She's pregnant. It's her. It's actually her first great grandmother for my mom. She's had some family heritage before that, so I'm coming to her heritage pregnancy. Sarah, thank you.
Any others? Any others? Oh, yes. Yes. Travis has a sinus infection that he cannot... Medicine doesn't seem to help. Any others?
My mother-in-law, Helen Lutz, she is really struggling with depression. First Christmas.
Others. Well, let us have a moment.
Call my attention that David, Frankie Graham, David Hooten's aunt, also beat Moses' aunt, and he passed away.
Let us begin our worship with a time of silent prayer, not only preparing our hearts and minds for worship, but remembering those that were just mentioned here and those that continue to be on our prayer list. Worship is taken from Isaiah 9:2 and verses 6 and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.
To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Let's all stand and turn in our hymnals to hymn 131, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
For prayer. Lord God, we come to worship you and we pray that you would be with us. You have promised to be with your people when they meet together in your name in that special way. And Father, we come to offer praise and adoration to you and to give the worship that you deserve. So move in each of our hearts today that that might be our experience before you and you might be glorified and you might be blessed. Lord, thank you for the call. Thank you for the invitation. But thank you also for all that you have done for us. And we come offering our prayer and ourselves in Jesus' name, praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and speak with your mouth that which you believe with your heart and your mind as we recite together the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Confession, which is found in your bulletin, is from Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. You'll join me in the prayer of confession. God of grace and truth, in Jesus Christ you came among us as light shining in darkness. We confess that we have not welcomed the light, our trusted good news to be good. We have closed our eyes to glory in our midst, expecting little and hoping for less. Forgive our doubt and renew our hope, so that we may receive the fullness of your grace and live in the truth of Christ the Lord. Amen. Our assurance of forgiven is found in Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For just as though the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Praise God.
Turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please. Hymn 132, Angels We Have Heard on High. And a little further down, you will see a medley of carols that's open to the congregation for their favorite choices. So be thinking that we'll do four, the first verse of four carols in that time.
Thank you. Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth, Mary, Joseph, in your aid, with us sing the Savior's birth. Gloria in excelsis Deo,
thank you.
Scripture reading today comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. It's found in your bulletin. It's also, you can locate it in your Bible. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." The children will please come forward. at the Advent wreath with Miss Andrea, and be reminded that there will be no children's church, that the children will remain in the sanctuary.
Good looking room. I'm sorry, we're not seeing the same. You're here to the congregation. She's going to wish them a Merry Christmas. going to sing one of my favorite Christmas carols for you, and I asked John to accompany me because the first time Silent Night was ever sung, it was sung with a guitar accompaniment because a little mouse had chewed a hole in the bellows for the organ. So I thought we'd be very authentic this morning.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild,
at those. You know, Nancy and I are city folks. It's hard for us to identify with Andrea and her animal tails. But we're house sitting for LD and Teresa Bell this week. They have 7 goats, 2 dogs, 4 cats, chickens, I don't know how many. I'm feeding this week. Boy, you want to see something comical, come down there about 4 o'clock this evening and see me with the goats. They took advantage of me yesterday. They really did. Need 3 more numbers. 137. 162. I'm sorry? 66. Hold on. 154? Is that what I heard? And 128. That's five. Okay. 154 and 128. Okay. First the verse of all those. We'll say 148 for the last. 128. First verse only. I'm sorry?
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious Son of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. He sung the earth goodwill to men from hands of gracious. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing.
137. What child is this?
Star of night, star before your peace.
Ushers will come forward, please. Need one more.
Okay.
The lesson, the verse, thanks be to God for His indescribable gifts. Let us pray.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this glorious day. We make our final preparations for presenting to you our gifts of love and joy and peace. May we share those with our families, our neighbors, our friends, as we present to you our gifts and offerings in honor of your greatest gift, your love through Christ, your only Son. May we keep within our hearts this joy and the reception of that gift to reflect and bring light and glory to all the gifts we share this Christmas season. For in honor of Christ, we offer this ourselves in prayer. Amen.
Our second scripture reading today comes from Titus chapter 2, 11 and 14, and then Titus 3, verses 4 through 7. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. The word of God for the people of God.
Turn in your hymnals now, if you will, please, to hymn 151, verse 1.
Good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Hear me to what we say. News, news, Jesus Christ is born today. Thoughts and deaths before him come.
And he's in
the future now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today.
I know that it's 11:15 or 11:13, so you've been here for 57 minutes, but even one clock says 11:15. How long will you give me? I don't think there is any Sunday that would be more important for me to have opportunity to preach than the Sunday nearest Christmas. And so I will try not to keep you too long, though. Maybe too long would be different things for different people. But let's think about what Christmas means. That's not the title that's in your bulletin or on your outline, and there is an outline under the scripture lesson there or a few sermon notes. What does it mean, Christmas? What does it mean that Christ was born? Or the title that I felt comfortable with, I believe it was Thursday, The Grace of God Has Appeared. But what does it mean that the grace of God has appeared? That's right out of the scripture, that title. A baby was born to a virgin in a cave. A cave that was being used as a stable for the domestic animals. It happened in an out-of-the-way village. And they named this baby Jesus. Shepherds visited, angels sang, kings worshiped. The grace of God that brought salvation had appeared. He lived a somewhat normal life, working in his earthly father's carpentry shop. At the age of 30, he became a teacher, preacher, but without a church. He gathered a few disciples around himself, and in his preaching and teaching, he often talked about the kingdom of God. He, Jesus, lived a somewhat normal life, but very special in that he committed no sin. The grace of God was present. After a few years of preaching, he was arrested and he was tried, well, sort of tried. He was killed by being nailed to a cross. And there he died. He died paying the penalty for the sin of all of the people of the world. That includes you, and that includes me. The grace of God that brings salvation was present. Though he died and was buried, again, in a cave or a hewn out tomb from a rock, after, on the third day, he was raised to new life. God raised him up from the grave to what we refer to as a resurrected life. And he walked upon this earth for 40 days. And after 40 days upon the earth, he ascended to heaven with the promise that he would come again. That he would be back to earth to claim all who trusted in that death of his to be payment for their sin. All who trusted in him to save them from their sin. Or should we say, from our sin. The grace of God had appeared, and he brought salvation to mankind. Our second lesson, we had two this morning. The Apostle Paul is writing to Titus, a young man in the faith, a fellow believer. Verse 11 ends with verse 11 of chapter 2 with these words: this grace of God was to all men. I think we could rightly translate the word men to all people. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people. And that is the meaning of Christmas. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people. It's available to all people. And that is the meaning of Christmas. This grace of God that brings salvation, it did not come for a select few, but it came to all, to whosoever would claim it. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners black, sinners white, sinners that speak English, sinners that speak Spanish or French, sinners of African origin or Russian origin or European origin, France or whatever, or Israeli origin or Greek origin. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. All sinners. Silent Night. What a touching song. The medley got Susan. Silent Night got me. I was rather quiet about it. Thank you, Julie and John. I think it's the third verse. It speaks of this being the birth of Christ, being the dawn, of redeeming grace. The entrance into the world of the grace of God, like the entrance of day following a dark night. The dawn of redeeming grace. That's the meaning of Christmas. A newsletter came this week or last week from another church. I believe it was the Donaldson Church. And they had a little article in there that spoke to me. I hope it will speak to you. I ask you to hear it. I'm not sure who wrote it, if it came from that church or if they borrowed it. They didn't give credit if they if they borrowed it from somewhere, but sometimes we do fail to do that. It says, Christmas occurred when God invaded the earth in a strange and marvelous way. So let me editorialize there. It was a strange way for God to visit the earth, was it not? In a babe, a baby, born to a virgin, but a marvelous way, even unbelievable, unbelievably strange, according to normal thinking, conventional thinking, we might call it. Christmas occurred when God invaded earth in a strange and marvelous way. A special child was born in an unlikely place at an inconvenient time into an unwelcoming world. Yet heaven's light pierced the darkness. Heaven's light pierced the darkness and shone through the life of that unique baby. And that light was, and that light is, an eternal light. It's not gone out yet. God's light in Jesus Christ is a saving light. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. When the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, or when the grace of God appeared, or when the kindness and the love of God appeared, He saves us because of His mercy. And it goes on in those verses, the following verses, to say nothing that we have done. It's God's doing. It's God's action. God is the one that saves us through Jesus Christ. We just claim it. Or we fail to claim it. We just receive it. Or we say, no thank you. When the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us because of His mercy. The grace of God, or the kindness and the love of God, appeared and brought salvation. But so what? So what if salvation is coming to the world? What does it mean? Does it mean anything different in my life? Or will life go on as usual? It can't go on as usual. We're changed people when Christ comes into our life. The Apostle Paul says this grace of God, back to verse 12 in chapter 2 of Titus, says it teaches us. It teaches us. So, it's a time for learning. When the grace of God touches us, it begins to teach us. What does this appearing of God's grace, what does it teach us? It teaches us two things that we find in this passage. It teaches us what to shun, and it teaches us what to follow, what to turn our back on, and what to go toward. What to shun and what to follow. What to shun, or what to say no to. It tells us that we say no to ungodly things, or to an ungodly life, or those ungodly things out there in the world that we're faced with. Worldly desires. Turn our back on these worldly desires. And what are worldly desires that the grace of God teaches us to turn our back on? Well, William Barclay put it like this. Things that we could not show to God. Things that we wish that God would never see, that we were involved in. Things that we could not present to God at that great reckoning day. You want to go to that day, and that day is the coming. The work of Christ cleanses us. The work of Christ on the cross cleanses us from the desires which we are ashamed for God to see. And it's Christ who makes not only our outward life clean, but also our inward heart. And it Christ makes them fit for God to see, because He came and paid the price for our sin. And through our faith, our sin is gone. It's wiped out. It's not held against us anymore. So, the grace of God appearing teaches us, one, what to shun, what to turn our back on, the ungodly things in the world, the earthly desires that we would be ashamed if we knew that God was seeing us. But see, the strange thing is, God sees everything. Or is that so strange? We can't hide anything from God. It happens over and over and over. Somebody will curse in my presence, or start to, and they'll look at me and they'll say, "Excuse me, preacher." And I say, God does not limit Himself to following me around. God is here whether I'm here or not. Don't apologize to me. Just don't say it. God sees you whether I'm around or not. I appreciate the thought that they do acknowledge my position or my office that I've been blessed with, that a pastor, minister of the gospel, a calling. But God sees us whether the preacher's present or not. And I'll talk about those folks, but you hear it also. And then He don't only teach us, the peering does not only teach us what to shun or what to turn our back on, but what to embrace. It also tells us what to embrace. The gospel message is not only the negative side. There's a positive side. What can the Christian do? Sometimes tell them I talked about them. My kids say, "We can't do anything right for you, Daddy." Well, I was taught that way. I couldn't do anything right for my parents either. That's the way parents are, though. But what to embrace? It says, live soberly, or live in moderation, or live with some restraint. One of the great places we need to experience some restraint, it may be too early for this year, but in our Christmas spending, we may need to exercise some restraint. Do all things in moderation. Live a godly life, a life that would please God, that would honor God. And this is what Christmas teaches us. This is what Christmas is about. The grace of God has appeared to save us from sin, and to teach us to shun the ungodly things in the world and to embrace or wrap our arms around the godly things. Live a godly life while we wait for Jesus to return. And the Christmas story might not have it included, but Paul included it right here. He's mentioned the return of Christ. Paul calls the return of Christ the blessed hope. And then he says that what the blessed hope is, and that is this glorious appearing, this glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's going to be glorious, especially for those who are living godly lives, people of faith and godly living when He comes back. It's a glorious time. Jesus was not only Savior. He was Savior. He is Savior. But He is also God. We need to remember that. And His return to gather His people together and to take us to that heavenly home that He went to prepare for us, that's our hope. And Paul calls it a blessed hope. However bad life is, we have that hope. It's available to all, to everyone. And one of our duties as the people of the hope is to help those who do not know God through Jesus Christ, that they might trust Him, and that they might claim that same hope. The grace of God has appeared. That's Christmas. I think it was Friday's Daily Bread devotional. It used Psalm 98. I didn't know Psalm 98 was a Christmas story, but it is. Psalm 98, verse 1 and 2. The psalmist says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. The Lord has made known His salvation." That's the Christmas story. The Lord making known His salvation by His coming, by the coming of Jesus into the world, we are saved. And we are heirs of eternal life in heaven. I know we have a number of people in this congregation who are observers or listeners to Joel Osteen. About how many? Just... Did you see him with Larry King Friday night? Was it Friday night? Oh, he was good. He was good. And he or his wife won. They talked about the tribulations. One of them said, "Even if we have tribulations in this life, we will make it because we have a vision of heaven." Or we have that, a hope of heaven. We have a hope that Jesus is going to come a second time and take us to that heavenly kingdom that He has prepared for us. Amen. I wonder this morning, is there anybody present who has not put their faith in Jesus? Who have not trusted Him? This might be the time that God is speaking to you to invite you to do it. We're going to sing number 123. That's 1, 2, 3. And we're going to sing the first and the second verses of that song. And it's a plea for Jesus to come, or God to send, O come, Emmanuel. O come to Israel. Well, folks, everywhere it says Israel in those two verses, can you just insert your own name? If He's already come to you, you can say, "Come again to Larry." I can kind of, I practiced just a little bit. So insert your name where it says Israel. If your response to God's love through Jesus Christ this morning is public, this altar awaits you. And I'll meet you there.